Your reasons for listening to this show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, and opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people.
Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
All right, guys, let's get after this. Welcome to a Thursday edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Holy shit, my nose looks red. It's because I exfoliated. And I've been, like I said, first burn of the summer. If you're in the chat room right now, Vulture is serving our country right now. He's got military duties tonight. So if you're listening, can you give me a little bit of feedback? Let me know if the audio sounds okay. Matter of fact, let me listen. I think it sounds like shit. I don't know. Does it sound bad? Guys, please let me know. Nah, it sounds good. All right, good. How's it sound, Fozzie? Give me a mic check. All right, cool. I got an interview coming up at 7:30. Angeline Chang. She won a goddamn Grammy. She's a classical, one of the first women to win a Grammy as a classical pianist. And I need you guys to be cool, for real. I've already talked to the moderators. I'm not saying that you guys can't say what you want to say, but there's a lot of hate going on for a certain group, and I'm not even going to get into it. So if you guys start acting up, Holyoke Joe, sometimes I don't know if you're just being a dick or you just like, seriously. Whatever. I gotta have somebody I can trust. I'm not saying I don't trust you. No, trust me. He's got a lot of kids. I'm not saying that, you know, people are not worried about don't ask, don't tell, and have kids and stuff, but definitely not Vulture. One of the most heterosexual men that I know. I know you are, and that's why I love you, Joe. That's why I do love you. I got a lot of great topics. If you want to call in, 407-270-3044. Once again, that's 407-270-3044. One of the first stories I wanted to get into, did you guys see this story? And I don't know, like, if I could do this. You know, a lot of people fold under pressure. But I also do think sometimes when the adrenaline, like, hits you, and this is definitely a case where adrenaline would definitely hit you. This guy flying back from the Bahamas. And I've never understood this. Like, why would they be flying without another person that was a licensed pilot? Because this is some stuff straight out of a movie, people. The status of my pubic hair, I will tell you this. I do keep it groomed. I do got a little bit of a bald spot on the left side. Hold on. I got people calling in here. This is a good surprise. Hold on. Come on. I'm trying to click. Tuttle Daily Podcast. Who's this?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Who's this?
This is Calvin.
Hey, what? How are you, my friend?
I'm doing all right, man.
It sounds like you're doing really all right now. Been partying today? Day drinking?
Of course.
I mean, I've been there, buddy. I mean, I used to do morning drinking. So where are you calling from?
I'm calling from South Carolina.
South Carolina. What have you been up to today?
Drinking a whole fucking bunch.
Yeah. What you drinking, my friend? What's your poison of choice?
Old Granddad.
Oh, are you drinking Old E's?
The Old Granddad.
What is the Old Granddad? I mean, you got to realize the United States is a big
shit. It's cheap shit.
What, like Old Milwaukee?
No, it's whiskey.
Oh, it is, dude. I used to drink. What did I drink? Black Velvet. That was some cheap stuff.
Oh shit!
And it came in a plastic bottle too. Does your whiskey come in a plastic bottle?
No, it's glass.
Yeah. So are you drinking for a certain reason? Something going bad? You celebrating? What's going on?
I'm just drinking, have a good old time, you know, sitting out and just doing my thing, you know.
So are you calling from, so you said you're calling from South Carolina. Are you calling from Charleston?
Well, I'm not too far from there. I used to listen to you. I mean, I still listen to Bubba.
Yeah. Now, how did you find out about the show after I left Bubba's show? Like, how did you find out? Were you following me?
Facebook.
Oh, Facebook. Well, man, yeah. This is really, really cool. What do you do for a living, my friend?
Oh, I'm retired.
Yeah. What did you do when you were working?
Carpentry.
Oh, you did. So you were like Jesus then, right?
Yeah.
Carpenter.
I built a lot of shit.
What'd you do? Houses, like, or just like anything? You could do anything
houses,
with wood.
New development, stuff like that.
Well, damn, man, you got a family and stuff.
I'm divorced, but I got three kids. I got one that lives in Somerville, South Carolina, which is outside of Charleston. I got one that lives in Buford, and I've got one that moved to Knoxville, Tennessee.
Are you a granddad?
No.
No, you're not.
Not yet. I've got one on. I got my daughter's got one on the way.
No kidding. And now, let me ask you. You know, I've always heard that, especially in the South. Okay. Sometimes the grandparents love the grandkids more than they love their own kids. Sometimes. Do you think you're going to be that way?
I love my daughter.
Well, I know that you do. I know that you do. I'm not saying you hate your granddaughter.
Oh, I'm going to spoil the hell out of my grandchild. Of course I am.
What is that about, though? Can you explain that? I mean, I know you're not a granddad yet, but can you explain a little bit of that to me?
Well, that's a part of you. I mean, that's a part of you. That's blood, you know.
Yeah. Hey, can you turn the audio down a little bit there? Because I'm hearing it in the background a little bit, and I don't want it to mess up the audio and stuff. Because I find you very interesting. Because now can I ask you a quick question? What made you call in tonight? Because I'm not saying anything bad about the people that listen to the show and stuff. But I don't get a lot of phone calls, and I think it's because some people are afraid or whatever. That I'm going to roast them or I'm going to, like, give out their information and stuff. But what made you call into the show?
Oh, I just saw it on my Facebook. I mean, I thought, I was looking at Facebook Live.
Yeah. Hey, so I'm not trying to pry, and you can tell me it's none of my business. You said you're divorced. What happened to the marriage?
Oh, she was a bitch.
Well, I mean, okay, but I mean, most women are, but like, yeah, but like, was she like cheating on you or anything like that? Or she just nag you all the time?
Just a fucking nag.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
We can't cuss.
No, you can curse, my friend. You can definitely curse. So,
God, I don't want to get you in trouble.
No, you're not. You're not going to get me in trouble. So, how long have you been divorced?
About 7 years.
Have you gotten any ass since you've been divorced?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever paid for a hooker before?
No.
No, you haven't. So then you're a stud. Then if you're getting like, How old of a gentleman are you?
I'm 52.
52. Okay. Well, I mean, hell, you're only 10 years older than I am. So it's like, I really shouldn't. But so you've gotten ass. And so how quickly did you get some ass after the divorce?
Maybe 3 months.
Yeah. So up in South, have you ever, now I'm not trying to like be shock jocking and stuff. Have you ever been with a minority before? Like, have you ever like hooked up with a black girl before? Come on, man. I'm not going to judge you because I have, but you know,
no,
you haven't. So it's you've just been straight Caucasian.
Damn right.
Well, the way you just said that, it was like, I'm damn right. No, I mean, okay. So, the father of your soon to be grandkid, white guy?
Of course.
Well, don't say it like that's a bad thing. The way you said that, I'm not judging you.
I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize. I'm just saying, like, well, all right. So let me ask you, okay? What if your daughter came to you and was like, did I just piss him off? Because I was just about to ask him if his daughter came to him and said, Dad, I'm pregnant. The baby daddy is African American. And I don't think that is a I gotcha question or anything bad. And he hung up. Like, seriously, and you guys don't even have to call in. I would like to hear from you in the chat room. What was that a bad question to ask? Seriously. Because I just wanted to know, like, because it is a different, that is the thing about America, okay? It is so big. It is so diverse. I watched this movie today. It was a Paul Rudd movie. He was taking care of a kid with muscular dystrophy. They went on a road trip. And I've always thought this. Like, America is the most diverse country when it comes to ecosystems and just, like, different, like, terrain. We got mountains. We got two mountain ranges. We got deserts. Matter of fact, one of the hottest places in the whole world is here in America. We got subtropical here in Florida. What up, Adam? No, seriously though, guys, I want to hear from you. Like, did I ask him a question that deserved to be hung up on, or maybe he just lost signal or something? Because I just wanted to get into it because there are so many different, and let's be honest, regionally, people think differently. People in the Northeast think differently than people in the Southeast. People in the middle of the country think differently as well. And then you got the Northwest. I mean, California could be like its own territory on its own. Adam Holmes writes, how's your life going? I mean, buddy, it's going really well. I don't want to jinx it, but I can't wait to announce that I picked up a gig that is, it has nothing to do with radio and stuff, and it's going to be, and when I say life-changing money, I don't want you to think like I'm going to be getting paid, like I'm making six figures or anything. No. But compared to what I've been doing and stuff, this is going to be money that I'm going to be able to put away, and it's still going to allow me to do the podcast still, because it is my thing. Adam, if you want to call in right now, 407-270-3044. That's 407. Matter of fact, it's scrolling across the bottom of the screen. So if you want to call in. If you're going to call in now because I got an interview coming up at 7:30. So let me get back into this story. Well, You know what?
Another passenger and the incapacitated.
So let me reset this. This plane was flying back from the Bahamas to South Florida. The pilot ended up having a medical emergency and passed out. And the passenger, never flown a plane in his life, has never taken any classes, and he was able to land the plane.
The passenger, another passenger, and the incapacitated pilot were in a plane just like this one. It's a Cessna 208. It's also sometimes called a caravan. Let me take you up here into the cockpit. Now, the one passenger, Darren Harrison, he was in the back seat of the plane. So he had three rows to climb over to get himself all the way up here into the cockpit. He had to pull the incapacitated.
Can I tell you, I mean, that's a pretty nice plane, even though it's a prop plane. You know, Bubba had a great plane as well, too. I never rode on it, and I'm glad that I never got asked. And that's not me saying that it's a bad plane, but let's be honest, okay? I've rode with Bubba in a lot of cars, and that is an experience on its own. And sometimes, you know, Bubba took the stick flying in his own personal plane. Could you imagine, like, you know, I'll give you an example. Bubba's a great driver. He is. He is a great driver. He's a great race car driver, just a great driver in general. But if you didn't know that and you rode with him, I've rode back with him from his speedway in Ocala, and him driving back and him texting. The guy is a notorious texter while driving, and there'll be some, it'll go like 5 minutes. He'll be like so enthralled with a text message driving back. But after some time, I was like, I started feeling more comfortable because guess what? Bubba could handle it. Oh, got a phone call coming in. I don't know if I'm ever going to get through this story. Hey, what's going on? Tuttle Daily Podcast.
What's up, Tuttles? BDM Kason here.
Hey, how are you, buddy?
Good, man. I just commented. I'm watching the Facebook live feed. I didn't know if you could see that or not.
Yeah, I use StreamYard, and sometimes I don't get all the comments and stuff, but I want people to call in and stuff. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm a truck driver. I'm home on the weekends, but I've been following you since day one, and I miss the 90s Tuttle, so... Like, when you give those pressuring questions, dude, hopefully I want them to piss people off or give them the real answer. That's the Tuttle that I miss.
Well, and I mean, I did that with that guy that called in. Like, I mean, I think I was asking a good question. I wanted to find out what his reaction would be if his daughter came back to him and was like, hey, I'm pregnant. And it's with an African-American gentleman or a minority. I really wanted to hear what his reaction would have been from that.
Yeah, some people get scared of that stuff, you know, these days.
And he hung up immediately. So you're an FTE, like you're a full trucker effect. You're driving around all the time. Do you do long distance or are you local?
I'm home on the weekends. I do regional. So I haul chemicals from,
so you got your, hazardous, material license too.
I haul the dangerous shit.
What's the most dangerous thing you've hauled?
Well, most of the stuff it's stuff that has to be kept at a certain temperature or it could,
combust or explode. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and we haul it and they make a bunch of car parts.
Hold on. Hey, Adam, don't be upset that I did not answer. I got another phone call. I don't have call waiting on my Google Voice and stuff.
Hey, Tuttle.
Yes.
It's all good, man. Do your thing, man. I just wanted to say I love your podcast, man, and I want 90s Tuttle back.
Oh, no, listen, you're going to get that, man, but I got to build it up a little bit. You know, like, I can't, like... come in hot, you know what I mean? Like I gotta, you know, be smart about it. And I will give you 90s Tuttle and stuff, but you know, like go ahead.
Like how you are on Tom and Dan. like you and Tom back and forth, that's class A entertainment.
Let me ask you, do you think Tom, though, is like, I mean, you're saying that I'm not being enough 90s Tuttle here, but like, well, do you think sometimes Tom is kind of like,
no. Oh, no, Tom is totally not 90s Tom, for sure.
Do you think he's changed, though? Do you think Tom has changed? Do you think Tom has changed at all?
Absolutely.
And I'm not saying anything in a bad way.
Yeah, he's changed. He's grown up, I mean, but you've grown up, too. We all have. But it's just the interaction you have with him reminds me of how you guys used to be, and that's it's nostalgic for me.
And you know what, buddy, I agree with you 100% because, you know, that was some of the most fun time I've ever had in my career, and I'll be honest about Tom, Drunky the Bear at the time. Maybe some people don't know what I'm talking about, but
he hates that.
Oh, he hates it. And that's why sometimes I accidentally call him that, just to, like, rub him the wrong way. But, like, you know, when Drunky Tom came into it, like, I'll admit, I kind of hated him at first because I saw him as a threat. And let's be honest, like, he did come in gangbusters. He did. And that all happened because Russ liked gimmicks. I mean, Russ was into wrestling and all that stuff, and he came in with a bear costume. He came in with a bear costume, and Russ loved it.
Yeah. Right.
But I got to tell you, it just like with Soul Brother Kevin, you know, when Soul Brother Kevin first started on the show, I saw him as a threat as well, too. But you know what? Soul Brother Kevin ended up being the best man at my wedding.
Yeah, he's a great dude. I mean, he didn't need a gimmick, you know?
No, and he was so funny, man. Hey, can you shoot me an email, man? I want to get your contact and stuff, man. I really enjoyed this conversation. And
yeah, man, I've emailed you recently about a couple things, but yeah, I'll shoot you another email.
Shoot me another one, because sometimes some of my stuff goes to junk and stuff. With the spam filters and stuff, but definitely send me an email and stuff, man. I really appreciate the phone call.
All right, buddy.
All right, man. Have a good one. Hey, Adam.
All right, bye.
Adam, if you want to call in, call in now. You know what? I don't even have enough time to get into the story because I've tried to get into it a couple of times. Hey, Adam Holmes on YouTube, call in now. I don't have anybody on the line because now you're kind of short spacing me a little bit. Because I'm at 24. My interview is supposed to call in at 30, at 7:30. Now, here we go. That's the most phone calls I've ever gotten. Hey, is this Adam?
I fell out of my chair.
Hey, how are you?
I'm sorry, Tom.
Oh, is this, you're, this is a guy from Charleston, right?
Calvin.
What up, Calvin? I know you call.
I'm sorry, I fell out of my chair.
All right, so I didn't offend Adam. Hold on, give me 1 second, Calvin. Hey, Adam, please. Adam, can you email me your contact info? Because I want to set up the time to talk to you. I feel bad because every time you try to call in, because seriously, I'm looking here now and I got
hello.
Calvin, hold on, Calvin.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, hold on. I got two missed calls from you. So please don't be mad at me, Adam. So if you could like email me your contact so I can like, I'll have you on tomorrow's show. Matter of fact, when I get done with my interview, Adam, if you email me and stuff, I'll call you as soon as the interview is over with. Tuttle, TUDDLE@gmail.com. And I'll give you a call back as soon as I get done with the interview, I promise. Because I really don't want you to be mad at me. So Calvin, I didn't offend you by asking you because I wanted to ask you, you know, your daughter is about to have a kid.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to ask you, like, how would you react if, and don't use the worst word that I'm, you know what I'm talking about, right? I hope. But what I was going to ask you, what would be your reaction if your daughter, because your daughter is about to have a baby, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what if your daughter came to you and said the baby daddy was black, Spanish, Asian, whatever? Like, would you be accepting of that or not? And do not use any racist.
That's my fucking daughter, of course.
Okay. All right.
That's my grandbaby. Come on, Tug.
Okay, well.
I can't control what goes inside my damn daughter's vagina.
Well, Calvin, I mean, you understand why I wanted to ask that question. I mean, I've been to Charleston, I've been to South Carolina area and stuff.
Yeah,
and I just.
A bunch of racist son of bitches up here. But I can't control what goes inside my daughter.
So you
and,
would,
but this being the case, Tuttle, she's not. I mean, she didn't have that go inside of her.
Well, don't say that. I mean, when you say that, it's like it's a. I mean, I know that you're inebriated right now, but like, so you would not have a problem.
Yeah.
You would not have a problem at all. And now, if it was, you know. An African-American, half-American, African-American baby, or a half-Spanish baby, or a half-Asian baby, or half-Muslim baby, or...
They can come and eat at my table any fucking time.
Okay, so, well, you know what? That's mighty admirable of you, my friend, because, you know, in the times we're living in right now, not a lot of people would be like that, especially being below the Mason-Dixon line.
Oh, yeah, I agree,
Do you think...
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Now, let me ask you this, Calvin, because I've always said this, and some people don't think I'm correct, but do you believe that kids are born racist or they're taught racism?
I think it's taught in the household, depending on what kind of... Well, yeah, all the parenting. I mean...
Yeah.
You have to be born into it. I mean, either you can be in a house of love or you can be in a house of hate.
You know what, Calvin? I'm so glad you called back because this actually... Wait, hold on. Wait, no, that's not it. Hold on, just give me a second. You know what? This is a very refreshing... Like, seriously, because, you know, with all the division that we have going on in our country. Well, Fozzie says it's 2022, cousin. Fozzie, it still goes on. It does. It's gotten better. Now, let me ask you, were your parents or your grandparents maybe, you know, a little judgmental? I'm not judging them. It's all about the time you grew up in. I think it is.
Well, yeah, of course it's all. I mean, it's a new age. I mean, but, you know, I take it as it is.
Yeah.
I mean, but like I go back on what I said. I'll say it a million times over. It's either a house of love, house of hate. Simple as that.
Now, do you plan, like, blowing a timeout on your drinking today? Or are you going to just drink until you go to sleep?
It's 7:30. I'm going to be up for a little bit while longer.
Calvin,
always a time to celebrate.
Now, Calvin. Calvin, now, I'm not going to judge you because I've done a lot of drugs as well. But, like, did you ever get caught up in any other drugs and stuff? What are the big drugs in South Carolina? Like, what's the one that's the pandemic up there?
Meth.
Oh, it is meth. Yeah, meth is a big one in Florida. What about the pain pills and stuff?
I don't double dabble in pills. I take medicine as I fucking need it or prescribe. I have a problem with the bottle once in a while, but you know what? I keep it under control. I don't pop no pills.
I'm not judging you at all. I'm not judging you at all. So you have you done meth at all?
Who?
Have you ever tried meth? Like, what's the worst drug you've ever tried?
The worst drug I've ever done. It's not a worst drug because I'm about to pop the roll me up one here in a minute. It's a nice big old doobie.
Oh yeah, I mean marijuana is not a drug, by the way. It's not.
No, it's not. Shit, it was in the Bible, motherfuckers. Y'all can keep y'all seeing me there on that bullshit. I'm about to get high as a fucking kite. I'm drunk as fuck.
And I'm gonna get high. Okay?
Hey, do you guys got? Do you guys have medical marijuana in South Carolina?
No.
You don't.
Man, I got connections. I don't need no fucking car to get fucking high. I'm on.
Yeah, I know that. I know that. Now, Calvin, one last question before I let you go, because I got an interview coming up here. What's your stance on abortion? You know, that's a big topic right now with Roe versus Wade.
It's your choice. It's your choice.
I agree with you, man.
If you want to get rid of the baby, get rid of the baby. And, you know, I mean, it's your body. If it's not your time to have a baby, and you, but then again, you got so many people that don't understand it. I mean, look, it's your choice. It should be nobody else's choice but the person involved.
You know,
you're not that person.
But Calvin, though, I do think there needs to be, like, you can't wait a couple of weeks until the baby's born, I think. I mean, I think there needs to be, like, some limits set. But what I don't like about the whole thing is about, oh, you can't do it, even in a case of race or rape or incest. That's the one thing that I have the biggest problem about.
I mean, it's all in different aspects of things. But I mean, I understand that part.
Hey, yeah. Calvin, I do have to go, man. I got my interview, okay? All right, man. See ya. Bye. I'm just waiting. Let me see if Angeline is there. Hold on. I'm waiting for her. Hold on. Can I mute your guests because they chose to mute themselves? Angeline, I just need you to, like, oh, crap, what happened there? Angeline, can you please, like, call back in, please? What? I hope that she didn't, like, I'm going to be really upset if she, like, dipped out. My guest, Angeline Chang, and I did a lot of show prep for this interview. And you know what really, really sucks? Is that you get, like, because, like, I talk about some topics, but I talk about real topics. And you know what? That's the thing that really pisses me off. And I'm not comparing myself to Howard Stern or Bubba Love Sponge. But people judge a book by its cover. You know how many times people used to think Howard Stern was one of the most disgusting, vile people in the world? And if you, like, knew, like, I've only talked to Howard, and that's when I screened a phone call one time working on Bubba's show. No, she didn't give me the 5-minute gimmick. I just picked it up. But what I'm trying to say, Howard is one of the most courteous, most respectful, caring, kind people that you'll ever know. And I'm not saying that I know him personally, because, like I said, that's the only, like, brief. Man, I'm going to be so mad because I did a lot of show prep for this. Hold on. Give me a second. Oh, hold on. Here she goes. Let me see. Hold on. Come on. Hold on. What is going on? Hey, hold on. Here we go. Here we go. Angeline?
Hello.
Oh, there you are. How are you?
I'm so sorry. I'm having some tech issues all of a sudden. I don't know what's going on here.
I can see you. Can you hear me?
You can see me? I can kind of hear you. Wait a minute. It's
I mean, you're kind of frozen up a little bit too, a little bit. It's just like
I don't know if you can hear me, but I'm gonna try to restart everything again if you don't mind. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, no, Angeline. Angeline, take your time. Call me. Just take as much time as you need and everything, because I'm really looking forward to talking to you, okay?
Same here. This will be great. All right. Sorry about that. I'm glad you can hear me. Things are just frozen on my end. Really weird. I had it queued up and everything.
All right.
I'll be right back.
All right.
I'll be right back.
Bye.
It's going to restart, okay?
All right. So we will bring her back on. Come on. She won a goddamn Grammy, people. first woman to win a Grammy as a classical piano player. And I'm interested into that. Fozzie says he's never been a Howard fan. Steven says not a Howard fan. Now, I know a lot of you guys. Okay, here. Nelly Mandingo, Howard changed for the worse. Fozzie, what just happened? Guys, I'm being honest. I, you know what? I might get kicked off of using this format. But you want me to be honest? StreamYard is a piece of shit. I'm telling you right now, everybody talks up good about it. They got a good publicity team or whatever it may be. But man, oh man. If anybody knows anybody in the StreamYard like community that is a part of the higher ups, please tell me, because I swear to God, everybody said it was the most stable platform because it's based off of website stuff. I have had so many problems with this. Fuck, man. But no, I do agree. Howard has changed, but you know what, people? You had to change. If you didn't change, you were not going to have a job, and it sucks. If it wasn't for the cancel culture, and you know what? They went after Howard. Twisted Movies, VMix, can you email me that so I don't forget about it? Because I want to try it out. Because I've had nothing but problems with StreamYard. It's the most overhyped piece of garbage multi-platform streaming community. I mean, Foz, I'm just giving you a warning. You need to be cool during this because I got moderators that are checking it out. I don't want to ever censor people. But you better be fucking cool when I have this guest on. I don't ask you guys this with most guests, but I don't need you getting me into hot water. Okay? So just be cool, man. Don't be a dick. Don't make those type of jokes and stuff. Like, seriously. I don't need that. I don't need getting blowback from some stuff that you said. Seriously. And the person that just texted me, yes, you have my permission. You have my permission to do that. Do not do that, okay? Because I do offensive stuff, but you can't do that on this one. Sorry, I don't ask you guys to do a lot of much stuff. Yeah, I do. Well, you know what? Fozzie, make fun of me as much as you want to. I know you are, Fozzie, but sometimes you can, you know, you know what? You know what you said, man. Don't act like you don't know what you say. Don't ask certain questions. That's all I'm going to say. You know what I'm talking about. Why would you want to put me in that situation? Seriously. And I know I look like a hypocrite and stuff, but guess what? I got to play games. You know how you guys are, talking about Howard? Yeah, he made a lot of money. Yeah, he had to change a little bit. Of course he did. I know he got a lot of hate during the Hillary Clinton interview. But do you think that Howard would have even got that interview if he would have not agreed to not ask? I know he had to change. He had to change. You had to adapt. And say what you want. Bubba's changed. He had to. I'm not saying that he sold out or anything, but he had to change to be able to make it in the business because everybody is out there. Oh, Bubba Light. Man, Bubba Light. Buddy. I've had a lot of the Bubba Army royalty come in. And, Bubba Light coming in. I really appreciate that. Thank you, my friend. Thank you for the $5 super chat. Can't thank you enough. Thank you. And Fozzie, are you effing kidding me? Who's your daddy? This is a new person I haven't seen before. Switch from Facebook Live to Twitch. Oh, here we go. Got Angeline in here. Let's see if this works. Hey, Angeline, how are you?
Hey, how are you, Tuttle? Can you hear me okay now?
I can hear you good.
Oh, and we'll, so sorry about that.
Al, no worries, no worries. And it's looking a lot better. Angeline, I don't do a lot of show prep for the guests and stuff, but, you know, whenever I got a guest on that's won a Grammy and stuff, I got to do my research because I don't want to look like an idiot and stuff. But before we get into the interview and stuff, tell my audience a little bit about yourself and how they can check out your website and stuff.
Sure. Well, you'll have to guide me a little bit on what you'd like to know, too. This is actually, I have to tell you, this is my first podcast interview. I'm so thrilled and honored to be here with you, Tuttle.
All right. Well, I'll just get into that. Okay. So you're first generation American born. You were born here in the United States, correct?
Totally. Yeah.
And when did you were your parents from China? Were they born here in the United States as well?
My parents are American. My grandparents are American. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, on the website Wikipedia, they get a lot of stuff wrong, but you're from Chinese descent as well too, right? Like your family and stuff, your ancestors and everything. And you moved here because I only asked that because, you know, America is a place of, you know, people coming from other countries. We love and we're accepting here in the United States for the most part and stuff. And I just love stories like that.
Okay. I was born here, so I don't know if I really came here. I guess I came here you came here.
I didn't mean that, by the way. I'm sorry. You know what? I didn't mean to offend you there. I just, you know, was trying to get some background and stuff. So, because it is, I mean, America is based on immigrants and stuff. And I just, you know, from what I read and everything, I just was trying to get some backstory and stuff. So, you grew up in Ohio, correct?
Yeah, in the Midwest. Mm-hmm.
How is Ohio? I mean, what team do you root for, the Bengals or the Browns?
Yeah, well, based in Cleveland, then it'll have to be the Browns.
Yeah, of course. Let me ask you here. And Fozzie, that's fine. Somebody asked, where do you keep your Grammy at?
Oh, man, that's such an embarrassing question. It's still in the box.
Really?
And I want to keep it nice and protected. Haven't been able to find a nice clear box for it. So if anybody has some ideas, that'll be great. You know, I like to have, you know how they put footballs in these
cases. Yeah. Glass cases and stuff, but like,
I just can't seem to find a Grammy box.
Now, have you ever like, and Nelly Mandingo says she is so nice. I'm going to put that comment up there. Nelly Mandingo says she is so nice. All right. I mean, a Grammy is like a big deal, you know, like actors that win Oscars and stuff, you know, like they put them up on displays and stuff and they're like icebreakers when you have people over and stuff. So walk me through that. Let's start with being nominated. What was the feelings you had when you were first nominated, out for a Grammy?
Yeah, totally. It was over the top because, you know, a lot of times you hear like people are, they're like aiming to get a Grammy or, you know, I'm going to get a Grammy. Well, you really can't prepare for it in that sense, from my perspective, at least. The way that you prepare is you just do your best. And if you're recognized, that's how I see it. Fantastic. I mean, but it's what we would call like the ultimate peer recognition because these are people, same people, who are doing what I'm doing.
Who were you up against? Like, were there any big names in your field playing the piano and stuff where you're like, oh my God, I'm never going to win against this person?
Oh yeah, totally. It's like the biggest name. So I'm thinking, well, that's fantastic. There are 5 nominations. It's amazing just to be nominated. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so like when yeah, like my family, they came with me to LA for the Grammys, and my sister's asking my mom, it's like, so what happens if Angeline doesn't win? And my mom's just a wonderful mom. She's like, what?
Why would you think that? Why would you
celebrate? Hello.
Was there any sibling rivalry between your, I don't know if you have any brothers, but like, was there any sibling rivalry at all?
Well, no, because we all do really different things, and they're like, yeah, you can have music, you can have it.
Yeah, but no, there's expensive. This is a great question. Fozzie says, "No,
is it you or me here?
That's me. I got a phone call coming in, and I need to just close that out." Fozzie asks, "Have you ever played piano for a film soundtrack?"
Oh, it's so funny you should say. I did do some music, and a lot of people don't know this, and I don't know why I'm revealing it here, but I am. But I actually played some violin on a soundtrack on a film, Marissa Tomei in Just a Kiss, one of those, a movie.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Stevens did. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So that had to be amazing. All right. I'm going to have to close this up. Give me a second. I had to close the Google Voice down so people didn't keep calling in. So Fozzie says, John Williams' music makes the Superman, Star Wars movies, in my opinion. Like, is there any, like, composer when it comes to movie soundtracks, doing scores and stuff that you're like, oh, it's amazing?
John Williams, you're right on. You know, I actually was on a tour, North American tour, for Star Wars in concert, and got to play that, and narration by the guy who does 3CPO and all that. It was amazing. But, you know, what struck me with that was that, you know, with classical music, we're like practicing so much to get, you know, I don't know, for us, like, a track isn't just 3 or 5 minutes. My track was like, you know, 17, 20 minutes for like classical music typically.
Yeah.
So here I am playing like 3 notes, you know, with this keyboard instrument. And all of a sudden the whole stadium, they erupt in like, oh, really? Cheers. And like, oh, woo, they recognize the music. I was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. But, you know, so, well, I love it. I totally love it. And the thing with John Williams' music, it's like so recognizable, just 3 notes, and they're like over the top. You know, people just know what's going on. And so he has a way to really bring that emotion and, you know, the ups, the downs, the triumphs, all that. That's just amazing, I think. And music does, for me, make it too. I mean, if anybody's ever tried turning down the music in the music, or just turning
down
a
movie, it makes it. I mean, I forget what they called it. I think John Williams did it for like the first Star Wars movie, the prequels that they did during that big fight scene. I think it was called Battle of Something. I forget what they called it. But I remember that one. Like, everybody recognizes that one. And, you know, Fozzie's really facing me with the great questions here. What are some of your piano playing influences?
Oh, man.
Any rock and roll people? Because, you know, Americans, they love the rock and roll. Like Jerry Lee Lewis. I mean, were you into any of that stuff?
Oh, totally. I mean, like, you know, Little Richard even. I mean, I try to stand up and play, you know, and everybody. I mean, so the thing about me is that I'm hardcore classical. Yeah, you got it. But I just love everything else. I didn't grow up on just classical music.
And it was Duel of the Fates. Duel of the Fates was the name of that song.
Yes,
you need
that's
a, yeah.
Right.
That was, it was called Duel of the Fates, and that the first Star Wars prequel that they did. It was just one of those ones that you remember. Now, what I mean, even like the music from Jurassic Park, that's iconic as well too. That you know, that one. I know that I have no musical talent at all, and I know that I was completely off on that, but
oh no, you got it out there. We got it.
Everybody knows that one. So, but like, all right. So you're classically trained, but what's the song that you like playing the most? That's not classical. Like, that's outside of your comfort zone. That's like, you know, just fun.
Oh man. Oh, there's so much. I can't even give you a list. I just love exploring music, but I have to say, recently, in recent times, I'm just, Don't laugh now, but I'm really into Dolly Parton.
Why would you apologize about that?
I'm not apologizing at all. She is awesome, but I mean, it's like totally different from classical music. Totally, it's like 180 from what I normally do.
Funny? That song Jolene did. Dolly Parton's still a very attractive woman, but back in the day, man, holy crap, man. But, that song Jolene she did, I always wanted to know. She's singing a song about Jolene stealing her man. I need to know what Jolene looked like, right? I mean, come on. I mean, that's what I always thought. Like, if Dolly Parton's talking about how great Jolene was, and that's Dolly Parton singing that, Don't Take My Man, I need to know what Jolene looks like, because like she's pinning her over.
Well, apparently, according to the song, she had auburn hair and eyes of green.
I mean, that's great. I mean, somebody said Home Sweet Home. I don't know if he's talking about Home Sweet Home as a Dolly song, or are you talking about Home Sweet Alabama or something? Hold on. In Pigeon for, yeah. So I got to ask you this. Okay. So when you won your Grammy, I know just like with the Oscars and stuff, you know, a lot of the, some of the awards are not shown live on TV. Was your category shown live on TV?
Typically, and still to this day, what you see on TV is just a small percentage. It's just,
that's what I thought.
Yeah, totally is. I know that there was something that popped up on the screen during the telecast, but it's the main things that are on TV are programmed for, it's really a small amount. I'd say probably 10%, if that.
Did you get to go to the ceremony, though? Did you get to see the live? What was your favorite live performance when you were there?
Oh, my gosh. I love Christina Aguilera. She is amazing. So yeah. Amazing. I mean, it's like folks like, it's like you don't have to know music when you hear her. It's like, oh my gosh, something is totally different. It's like she's great. She's totally great.
What year was it that you won your Grammy?
That was a while ago. It was like, when was that?
Trust me, I lose track of time. It all blends together as well.
Come back to me on that. All right. I mean, let me speculate a few things here.
what are your thoughts on Billy Joel as a piano player?
Oh, he's great. Oh my gosh, are you kidding?
And Elton John, Billy Joel.
Yes,
like,
Elton John. Thanks for bringing that up too. I mean, those, oh my goodness, they're amazing. They're great. And even Lady Gaga, I mean, they're all great piano players. Alicia Keys, fantastic, just fantastic. Love Billy Joel, the piano man, one of my favorites, absolutely.
Did you watch the movie, the biopic that they did about Elton John, Rocket Man? Did you have a chance?
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. I did see that. Mm-hmm.
I mean, he wrote some really, really great songs. Now, please, with the times and everything we've been going through, one of my listeners in the chat asked, with our last president, Donald Trump, there was a lot of hate for the Asian community for some of the things that he said during the COVID stuff. Have you had to experience, or have you experienced any of that stuff? And if you don't want to answer that question, I completely understand. But I think it's something that's a valid question in the times we're living in and stuff.
Sure. And I'm not sure how to address that completely, but the thing is that I did hear a little bit of your episode earlier. I don't remember who that was. I just happened to hear something. And the guy had said, you can love or you can hate, Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's about that. It's like a lot of people, what I see, it's like sometimes I've done a lot of traveling with my music. And every time I go somewhere, it's like something really different. A different way of doing things.
It's a great thing about the country, though. It's so big regionally. You got a different way of living. You got different accents. There's so many different ecosystems here in the United States, because you got deserts, mountains, subtropical places, cold places.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's your favorite place and worst place? I mean, I'm not saying I don't need details, but what was? How about this? I'll say least favorite. I'm not going to say worst. I'll reword that. Your favorite and your least favorite place.
Oh man. Well, I have to tell you, even being in Cleveland, when it gets really dark and gloomy for long stretches, that can be a killer. That can be a real killer. So, I mean, I've been to some places, even to like the Himalayas, where it's like in Nepal, it's among the poorest places on earth, supposedly. But that's where I learned about what is happiness? It's like, it seems like they don't have anything, but you'd see people out in the streets, on the plazas, tattered clothes, smiling, enjoying the sunshine, enjoying their life. That to me is richness.
It is because in the grand scheme of things, we're just floating around the Milky Way galaxy, around a black hole in the middle of it. And we're having to like pay bills, and it's all about status and what you have and other people don't have. In the grand scheme of things, it is, because you know what? Sometimes the people that have the least are the ones that are the most happiest.
Yeah. And I think when we have too much, there's a type of burden on that, you know, because there's people feel like they have too much to lose. And I think that's why a lot of times we're trying to blame it on other people instead of looking inside, you know.
I know this is a weird question a listener wanted to know, like, depending on if you use DoorDash or whatever, but what was your last, like, you know, food delivery that you had delivered? I don't know why, but I like the question. Because everybody was doing food delivery during the pandemic and stuff. Everybody was ordering their food and stuff.
Yeah, I didn't really get any of that done. I had some groceries delivered.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, totally.
What do you guys say? Because here in the South, we got like Publix, Winn-Dixie, all that. And Adam Holmes says, okay, I like her. You know, it's funny. When people come on the show and they're just open and honest and just having a conversation, Are some of the guests that they like the most. What kind of grocery store do you shop at up in Cleveland? Because, you know, talking about regionally, we all have different, like, chains and stuff.
Yeah, totally. Like, there's not just one, but I'll give you some names you probably know of. I mean, there's Walmart, of course.
Oh, yeah.
There's, what else do we have up there? We don't have Publix. We have, Costco, everybody knows too.
Like Kroger's in the South. We have
Kroger's. We have Kroger's.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah.
What is the most famous person that you've ever had say, hey, I really enjoy your music?
Oh, to me or?
Well, I'm just talking about, okay, to you, but in general, like what would people think would be the most famous person that's come up? Like, you know, have you had any famous actors or anybody like really like your music and stuff?
Yeah. I mean, like when I go to the Grammys, you know what I really love about it? It's like, I thought as a classical person, I'd be like a fish out of water. Like people wouldn't know, but people, it's like, there's this mutual respect and, you know, there'll be folks like, I don't know, Herbie Hancock or.
I know that one. I definitely know that one.
You know that one? Okay,
yeah, I mean, I've heard it, but so I couldn't tell you what song he's done, but I definitely have heard that name, and I know that it's a big name.
Mm-hmm. A lot of folks that, you know, they're, I would say household names, but, you know, to me, it's really an honor to be appreciated in that sense. And I think it just goes around because I feel the same way. And the thing is, it's not so much about who's famous and whether, because they're famous, they're having the approval, but that there's this human connection. And for me, that's like, it doesn't matter who it is. And that's what I strive for. It's like to transcend and just resonate that human side that we all have, that we all have to connect with that, because I think that's really healing. And I think that's what we really need, to be able to express ourselves that way. And if anybody who hasn't played music or done any instruments, I would really recommend, especially these days, you know, with things going around where we don't know what's happening the next day, it can really help. And I used to not think so, but you know, when you do it, you like focus, you play, you express yourself that in ways that are really very healing and productive, versus like some other ways that you know, you try to stay away from. It's like it just, you know, doesn't work out. But I'd recommend that. I really would. Even singing, you know.
Yeah. So you were talking about that and how it's a good thing. Do you have any causes that you do like charitable work for or anything that's near and dear to your heart?
Say it one more time.
Is there any causes like fundraising and stuff that you do like use your skills to help out people with?
Yeah. I did some things through the Grammy. You know, the thing is, a lot of people don't know about the Grammys having these foundations that really help not only music makers, but especially music makers, like people who may have lost things. I've done fundraisers for that. For example, I mean, big hurricanes passed through town. You probably, I don't know if you have many of those where you are.
Oh, yeah. In Florida, we do. Yeah. We have that all the time. So you might, I might have gotten some of the money you raised at one point back in the day.
Yeah, I think so. And there are educational causes too. Like there's now a music educators award too. So if you know some good music teachers, nominate them. Mm. So, you know, they actually get a nice prize. They could get a really nice prize that I didn't get as a actual Grammy Award winner, but I mean, it's a cash prize. So as a Grammy Award winner, we didn't get a cash prize. We just got this gold trophy.
Oh, you know? That's a lot of that. Having a Grammy is like up there that not a lot of people have. Fozzie asked a great question. When did you decide this is what you wanted to do forever? Because, you know, here in the South, it's like, all right, if you want to go to college, you got to be an athlete. And, you know, there's a select few that only make it to that point. When did you realize, all right, this is something that I might be able to make a living off of?
Well, to be frank with you, it took a while because I have a lot of different interests.
You're also a lawyer, right?
Oh, wow. You did your research, didn't you?
Yeah. I might have to do another interview with you here. But I'll get to that question, Fozzie. So please tell me. So did you get a scholarship for your music? And that's how you did. Okay. And why did you decide law?
Well, I'll tell you first why I decided music, then I'll tell you why I decided law.
All right.
And first in the music is because of my teachers. I know that, so I don't come from a traditionally a musical household or that type of thing, but I had some great teachers, and that's why I'm a teacher too. That's why I'm really big into education, and I'd like to pay it forward. Then also with that's how I got into music, and just that encouragement, just to see that there is a possibility, and there is a type of during my time, I mean, I don't think so anymore, but I think during that time period there, it was a, how should you say, there was sort of like an age limit thing to it. You know how dancers or athletes.
Oh, it's like Olympic gymnasts and stuff. Right. If you're not in your teens and, or you don't start early, we were talking about Star Wars earlier. They won't teach a Jedi after a certain amount of age or whatever. I'm just being honest. Sometimes age is looked down upon depending on when you get into something.
Right. Exactly. So there are a lot of opportunities that happen at an early age. And I was fortunate because of my teachers that, and I didn't know what my background, how good it was as far as the education, but it was really stellar. And so I just worked towards it and things worked out. And in the back of my mind, it was that, well, you know, if it doesn't work out with music, I'll do something else. What else I wanted to do. But my teacher said, well, do this first then, you know, try it out, see if it works. If it doesn't work out, you can go to something else. Now, speaking of law, that's not something that I started out with wanting to do. I actually was thinking about becoming I want to help heal the world, you know? And I do that. I tried to do that through my music, but I thought that I would, if it weren't music, I would want to become a doctor.
Yeah. But I mean, a lot of people want to become doctors. It's like, but also a lot of people want to become lawyers as well too.
Yeah. And it's not because of the money, because I wanted to help heal. And I think that's my natural.
What kind of law do you do?
So now I do entertainment law.
Oh, like being like
music law,
like being an agent or something too. I mean, have you ever thought about being an agent, you know, and you know, as a lot of agents are sometimes lawyers and stuff.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right, because it's really important to understand the law with that.
Can music, can people coming up in music get really taken advantage of?
They could, and it's really interesting. If you look into the field too, it goes both ways. Sometimes people think artists are being, like, you know, nasty about stuff. So it's funny, you know, you have, so that's the one thing in my legal background that I've really appreciated, being able to see, like, look at both sides to things. So if you're asking one side a question on this side, I always want to see the other side too, you know? And I think it helps to be in a swing state like Ohio. You really get a chance to see both sides to, like, political issues and things like that too.
Do you ever why do we as Americans, because it all started with the OJ trial, but we love a good juicy trial, right? I mean, the Casey Anthony trial was one. You know, I did a lot of stuff here in Central Florida. Casey Anthony, the woman that killed her daughter. Remember that when she got, like, caught up lying and everything? But the one that everybody is, like, paying attention is this Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial.
Oh, yeah, yeah, totally.
What is it? Is it real? Is it just about reality TV? Because everybody loves reality TV, but it's weird how some cases or some trials just get attention more than others.
Right. I think that's what it's about too. For a lot of people, it's sometimes a sensationalism, you know, we have a tendency to want to look at that, you know, the roadkill. Ah, I want to see. Yes, I do.
Rubberneckers. That's what we call them here in the South. Like if you're going down the interstate and you see an accident, everybody slows down to take a look.
Yeah. Yeah. The fascination with that, but you know, things that I think that's part of it. It's human nature, I guess, to see something you don't usually get to see. And if it's sensational, it's like something usually people like to, it's easier to see something that's icky than it is to see something that's, marvelous.
Hey, Angeline, you know? Once again, I always ask this, but, like, are you okay talking about your personal life? Like, I mean, do you have a family and stuff? I mean, I don't need, like, details and stuff, but, like, I think my audience would like to know, like, are you married? Do you have kids? Like,
I'm totally available.
You are? Wait a minute. Now you wait. I didn't ask that for my personal. I mean, I'm not saying that I wouldn't be interested, but what I'm trying to say is that, like, you know, having a Grammy and stuff, you know how guys, they love to have icebreakers and stuff. I'm telling you right now, having a Grammy, that would be like, oh man, I'm gonna like, let's see how this plays out, because she's smart, she's a lawyer, she has a Grammy. Or is it because you've just been too dedicated to your music and your career?
Well, I think it just hasn't happened. It's not so much that I've I don't know. It just hasn't completely aligned yet.
And please look, I'm 42 years old. I'm single. I was married. Oh. It didn't work out. So, but what I'm trying to say though is, like, I don't want you to think like I'm like judging you or looking down. No. I think that's something that my audience, Iggy T, she is my biggest supporter in Canada, Grammy and a lawyer, LOL. And she means that in a good way, because she already said, smart and honest earlier. So smart and talented. That's what she said earlier. So,
thank you.
I mean, coming from a woman, I mean, that's good, because sometimes women can be a little judgmental. Sometimes women can be a little competitive, just like men can be and stuff. Like, have you had a serious relationship through your life, or you just been too busy concentrating on your career and music, like I said?
Well, I think it really has been the busy and focused. You're right. I think that does have something to do with it, because, you know, whether on purpose or not, that is pretty much my main focus. And sometimes, you know, pressure gets on when you're a performer and doing things that you can't split your attention very easily. And maybe that's part of it. I'm not sure. I really don't know. If anybody wants to help me out with that, I'm welcome to it.
But, like, I mean, I don't know. And hopefully you didn't take offense to,
I don't.
All right. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just something, because Now, all right, one last thing. So what is the one person in your industry that's come to you and has said, and you know, the one that wants to, that you were just like, oh my God, I can't believe this person knows who I am or whatever. I know not in your genre, because that's a little, but I think it would be so cool, like if it was somebody in the pop or even country or just something a lot different than the type of music you play, that would be like, oh my God, I can't believe this person knows my music at all.
Oh yeah. Now that you mentioned that, you just struck something for me, because I remember the one time that I was out doing a, this conference, and you've heard of The Simpsons.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Matt Groening.
Yeah.
And
that's a big name.
That's a big name, yeah. People are like, you gotta meet him. It's like, oh, okay, cool, yeah, I'd love to meet the guy who created The Simpsons. He's amazing. I was blown away that he knew about the music that I was playing. It's like Messian. And then, you know, all of a sudden, light bulb went off. It's like, because my brother, really, I remember, he'd watched The Simpsons, and long back, way before, I thought, oh, this is a cartoon, and I you know,
it's silly. Still on, and it's still killing
right?
it,
right? And have you heard of Futurama?
Yes,
you
know, yeah, Futurama? Trust me, I'm a big nerd, so like, I okay. like all that stuff, so
okay, cool. I remember seeing that episode, or some of those. And in one episode, there was reference to Taranga Leela. Do you know that character? Anyway, yeah. It's like, so I was just, oh, that's so hilarious, because that is totally referenced to Olivier Messiaen, who was my teacher at the Paris Conservatory, this big composer that I won a Grammy for. So it's like, but everybody else around me was like, what? No, that's just the name of a character. Then when I met Matt Groening,
Did you ask him?
It's like, ah.
That's crazy.
That's totally crazy, right?
One last question. Somebody asked, Fozzie said, do you play any other instruments?
Yeah. I love to play all sorts of instruments. Whenever I go to like a different country or different place, I always try to find what the local instrument is.
Well, like if you went to Australia, yeah. Like the didgeridoo, like, I mean, I mean, there's a lot of those odd instruments out there that are native to a place. Totally. What's the most one you're like, oh man, I can't believe I got a chance to try to learn this.
Yeah. So that's once I collect these different instruments. And so I've tried probably all the, a lot of the instruments like we have here in the States.
Banjo is one. If I had any musical talent, banjo would be one that I would want to try to play. I don't know why.
That is so cool, right? Oh, banjo is awesome. I mean, but it is tricky. I mean, it's not exactly like a guitar, and guitar isn't, you know, some people think it's easy, but it depends on, you know, your propensity towards, you know, what you're doing. For me, it's like violin or those type of things are easier because they're the way that it's tuned. To me, it's simpler. But to other people, it might be more complicated. Yeah. Well, but banjo. Oh, I love banjo too. Oh my gosh.
You know, so many people have been asking this and they've been asking, hey, can't you play live? By the way, that's a green screen in the background, guys. I've used that one before too. That's not her piano in the background, by the way. But yeah, I mean, if we could ever get it set up where we could get it directly fed in, I would love, because everybody's been asking, can't you play something live? Can't you play something live?
Oh, really?
A lot of people have been asking, and I don't want to, but it's just after a certain amount. So I definitely would love to have you on again. There was one other question. So besides a lawyer and doing music, what were some of the other jobs you've had? Like, you know, like your first job or some of those jobs coming up?
Oh, gosh. So, gosh, all sorts of things. I mean, but I'd have to say my main thing has always been in music. So, I mean, I've, you know, odd jobs, you name it. I've probably done it. So,
wow.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, seriously, if we could get it set up where, you know, like you could like feed it directly into your computer and do like, because everybody's been asking. Everybody's been asking, can you play live? Can you do something live? Can you do seriously, I would love to have you on again if that's something we could work out. And I'm gonna have my producer reach out to you and talk to you about that. Maybe we can do something. And if I have to help you out technically behind the scenes about how to get everything plugged in, I'm not saying you don't know how to, but I want to make it easier because you'd be doing me a favor because everybody said that they've been wanting to hear it. I mean, cool. Adam Holmes says yes to that.
So what does your audience usually like to hear?
I mean, it's all over the place. Like, you know what? I can do a show where I can get requests or decisions and stuff. You know, so maybe just do a look. You know who one of the best when I was in all, Dennis DeYoung from Styx came in and played the piano live in the studio one time. You know, and that was amazing. And he would only do like the first verse and the chorus and then he would end it, you know. But I mean, you don't even have to sing. You just play the music and stuff because to be able to have a Grammy award winning musician, maybe do a couple of songs and stuff. Yeah, that would be like, that would be amazing. So, Angeline, before we go, tell my audience how they can check out your website and stuff or check out any of your information. Are you on any social media or anything?
Yeah, I kind of on Facebook and my website. It's my first and last name. I don't know if you have that, but I'll spell it out for you because it is a little funny with the spelling. Angeline.
So it's Angeline. Is it Angeline or because it doesn't have an E?
I was impressed with you. I was impressed with you because you pronounced it just the way I like it. Angeline. It was amazing.
Okay. All right. So I just want to make sure because usually I butcher the guest name, but I like doing that because I think it's always a great icebreaker. It is. Fozzie brings up a great point. You're familiar with Guns N' Roses, the rock band, right?
Yeah, totally.
Do you remember that song November Rain that they did where Axl Rose, that long one where he's playing the piano and stuff? Oh, and not a lot of people thought Axl could do it. Fozzie says, thank you, Angeline. But yeah, you know, everybody was blown away because, you know, they were like this, you know, rock band on the edge of the hair band craze at the time. And they were going in and they were, you know, you had great strong guitar leads and bass, and then they did that song and it was like an anthem. It was like 8 minute long song, and Axl Rose was playing the piano in that, and everybody was like, holy crap, I didn't know Axl could play the piano. Man,
yeah, a lot of talent, and a lot of times you don't see it on the surface, but so much goes into it that you don't see.
Angeline, I'm gonna get out of here, but I can't thank you enough. Go ahead.
I was saying, great talking with you, Tuttle. It was such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
I mean, hopefully it was great for your first podcast interview and stuff.
It was awesome. It was awesome.
So it was good then. I didn't embarrass myself or anything like that.
Are you kidding me? No, not at all. And thank you for everything. I mean, this is a great experience for me. I love how you're audience is so engaged and stuff. That was so cool.
Yeah.
And,
Nelly says one of my favorite interviews. Says it. I just put it up on the screen. Nelly says one of my favorite interviews and stuff. So
thanks so much. I'm so touched.
Well, Angeline, I hope you have a wonderful night, and I appreciate your time. Okay.
All right. Take care. Take care, y'all.
All right. Bye. All right, guys. I'm gonna get out of here. I know I went a little long with that interview and stuff, but hopefully you enjoyed it. I'm gonna get out of here. Hope you guys stay safe, and I will talk to you tomorrow.